Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Steve Bailey, taking you through a Thursday, albeit a very busy one, covering lots of ground today. And we'll cover some more ground now, this time on the college athletics front, as we are joined by Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, great to have you on as always, my friend. How are things going on? How are things going down in that great state capital of ours?
Things are going good. It's actually quite warm today, so it's really nice.
Yeah, sun's out. We're in the 40s up here. That doesn't feel so bad all of a sudden when you're exposed to the 20s and the 30s. So we'll take it. When Sergeant Sunshine shows his face in December, that's usually a win up in these parts.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Well, the last time we had you on, we were talking about the announcement made by Coach Urban Meyer that he was going to retire from coaching, and we haven't heard a whole lot on that front since. And I feel like that's a discussion we're going to revisit at another time, but I want to talk about some of the things that have transpired since our previous conversation, more notably some of the guys who have decided they're going to go and that they're going to stay after the Rose Bowl. So we'll start with Draymond Jones. He's playing in the Rose Bowl, but he's entering the NFL draft. What kind of an impact do you think, A, he will have in the game, and B, any idea, have you heard where he might get drafted?
So as to answer your first question first, as far as impact on the game, he will always have an impact on the defensive line. Between him and Chase Young, the two best defensive linemen on the Buckeyes, he played extremely well in stepping up for Nick Bosa when he went down in the TCU game. If you remember, Draymond had the interception return for a touchdown in that game. So he definitely will have a big impact going against the Huskies of Washington. As for where he'll be drafted, I've seen anywhere between late first-round, early second-round grades on Draymond. He had a chance. He could have left last year and gone into the draft last year, but he chose to come back and play another season, try to win a national championship, another Big Ten championship. He accomplished one of the two, and everyone kind of figured this would be his last year here at Ohio State.
When you look at that unit, Jones, Young, obviously Bosa earlier in the year, all guys looked at as top-notch draft prospects, that's a particular unit that is going to lose a lot going into the 2019 season. Although earlier in the year, you had mentioned that, look, that's a fairly deep group. What are the prospects looking like for next year with that group past the Rose Bowl?
Well, you have Chase Young. He cannot go to the draft, so he will be back. My guess will be for one more year because he will go to the draft next year. He is just too good of a player to stay in college for the full 4 years. Robert Beebe Landers, defensive tackle, he has had sparks of a great season. He's been, I wouldn't say up or down, but mediocre to really good this year. Jonathan Cooper, a local kid from Gahanna, here in Central Ohio, he's another guy to keep an eye out for. He's played pretty well this year. So those three names, to me, really stand out as far as the depth and who to look out for next year for the Buckeyes on the defensive line.
And, of course, the recruiting season never really seems to stop. Now,
nope.
Especially that they've actually made a few more signing days and signing day periods. That's actually complicated the process to some degree, even though that was supposed to help shore it up to some degree. But regardless, as we continue to take a look as to how things have transpired since the Urban Meyer announcement, do you see him relinquishing any control on the day of the game or the practices leading up to the Rose Bowl to Ryan Day, who is the head coach in waiting until the Rose Bowl?
I don't, mainly just because he's still the head coach. You know, he is the head coach until January 2nd. Ryan Day takes over January 2nd, and that was all about the press conference and all that. So Urban's going to want his coach his last game as an Ohio State coach, and what I believe his last game as a head coach, period, unless he wants to coach his grandson's Pee Wee Football League, then I'll go right ahead. But I think he will want to coach his last game as a head coach as he would any other game. So he will have full control, and I think he will be the main guy, but obviously Ryan Day will still be calling a lot of the plays and going from there, but Urban Meyer will have the final say-so.
I feel like there are a lot of factors that could keep the interest high in this Rose Bowl game. Number one, it's the Rose Bowl. There's still a great deal of pageantry and prestige surrounding that game.
It's the granddaddy of them all.
And you're taking on Washington, which, I don't know. I don't mind Washington, and I think Coach Peterson always thrives you know, when he's coaching as the underdog, which I think it's safe to say in this game, his team very, very clearly is, and his team really doesn't even factor into the storyline so much in this particular contest. And
Absolutely. You
got to think that outside of the playoff games, this particular bowl has the most prestige involved.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's got the most prestige because it is a Rose Bowl. It is the granddaddy of them all. And it's the one game, especially for in this area, in the Midwest, and obviously in, around the Pacific Ocean out west, that you say bowl game, you think Rose Bowl. I mean, this is the one game I have been looking forward to covering since I started my career down here in Columbus that I wanted to go to a Rose Bowl. I went to a national championship. I went to a Sugar Bowl. Those are all fine and dandy. I've been to a Cotton Bowl. The Rose Bowl, I am so looking forward to covering because it is the Rose Bowl. It's the one game that you know just is spectacular. And, you know, the field will be great. The atmosphere will be great. You know, it'll just be spectacular is what I'm picturing. It's the same to me as the South. And when you say Sugar Bowl, they think the same thing.
And you were telling me a little bit earlier, you're not only just going to be covering this thing from afar, you're going to be knee-deep in the Rose Bowl. You're going to be down in Pasadena.
Yep, I'll be there starting on the 29th and through the 2nd, so the day after the game. I'm so looking forward to it. I will try to bring back some roses, but there are no guarantees.
Well, hopefully you can succeed and not just try to bring back some roses. That would be really, really nice. See if you can work your magic down there, my friend.
Sean, do what I can.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Dunny, we're going to transition into some hoops now, simply because I don't want to say this is a dead period for football because we mentioned the monster that has become recruiting and obviously a lot of storylines leading into the Rose Bowl, but very quietly, Coach Holtman and company, they have done a very nice job, and I think it's become very interesting to follow this Ohio State Buckeye basketball team. They far exceeded expectations. Last year, they earned a top 15 ranking earlier this week. And well, again, very quietly, Dunny, they're out to a really nice start.
Absolutely. They only have one loss, a 10-point loss to Syracuse, who have now jumped back into the rankings after losing two games. The Buckeyes, again, it's almost like exactly like last year when nobody expected them to do anything. They were picked 8th in the Big Ten, I believe, this year preseason. And the next thing you know, they're ranked 15th, the highest ranking they've had so far. They've had two great road wins already in Cincinnati and in Creighton, two teams that are expected to be in the NCAA tournament. When you look at everything what the Buckeyes are doing, it's almost exactly like last year, except you don't have a big score. This is more of a team effort than a Kata Bates Diop and Jayshon Tate effort when you look at this year's Buckeye basketball team.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think.
Right.
Because you're not necessarily relying on one guy every single night. The idea is you become reliant on a number of different guys to pick up the load on a different night. And the Big Ten is certainly going to be a really, really tough schedule for the Buckeyes, like it is every year. But this year, you've got a lot of really good teams vying for that top spot. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they look like in the second half of the season. But like you mentioned, they're out to a great start. The only blemish, that loss to Syracuse. Who are some of the individual standouts, though? You mentioned the scoring is going to be at least a little more balanced this year. Who are some of the individual standouts?
I really like Caleb Wesson, the center. He's a forward, but he plays the five position really well. He's from Westerville. His brother, Andre Wesson, who's a year older, he's a good guard, 6'8" guard. C.J. Jackson, the point guard, he's the lone normal senior on the team. He's playing really well, and when he can shoot the ball, he's on. But I really like the two freshmen that are really playing. Luther Muhammad, who is starting as a true freshman for the Buckeyes, and then Dwayne Washington, who's coming off the bench. Dwayne has zero hesitation about pulling up and hitting a three, or at least shooting a three. He makes a lot of them. He is very confident in his abilities, even when he misses a lot. He has zero problems trying to go for another one. And when the pressure's on, he usually has a green light and usually hits them. So it's good to see him. Luther Muhammad, he is a player that really specializes in his defense. You don't really hear that when it comes down to a freshman coming into the, especially the Big Ten, and you hear defense. He plays defense extremely well. His whole mindset is, it doesn't matter if you hold your opponent to 10 points and you score 10 points. It's a wash. He wants to score 10 points and hold his opponent to 0 or 2 points. That's his expectation for playing good defense. And when he can be that kind of vocal leader and get that across to the rest of the team, which he has been, look out for this team. I think this team will make it farther than it did last year.
It was interesting to see the impact a new coach could make with the, I don't want to call them leftovers, but you've got guys that were recruited during a different tenure, and to see the impact that they were able to make right away. But now you kind of get a true measure of the success of a new coach, because he's had a full year now to bring in some of his own recruits and certainly kind of build on that. And with college basketball, because you may only have guys for a year before they bolt, that job becomes a heck of a lot tougher. I think it's very, very difficult, Dunny, to give this coaching staff anything less than an A at this point, because A, they've exceeded expectations, and B, it seems like they're bringing in some really good athletes early on.
Oh, no, but that's just on the court. Off the court, he has done extremely well in engaging this fan base, and especially the students. I mean, for the second year in a row, he welcomed all the new students into the shot with donuts outside the arena. You know, he paid for donuts. He went to Raising Cane's, which is a chicken finger joint down here in Columbus, and he paid for every student's meal for an hour.
Wow.
He is driving home a fan base. He is wanting to get everybody engaged. But everything that he did when it came to Thad Matta and having the banner raised, for him to have enough confidence in himself to say, you know, this is the old guy, but let's bring him in. You know, he deserves a banner to be raised here at the shot. Let's do it. And for him to happen a year after he took over, he is hitting everything on the right note, and he is doing it at a very high level on the court and off the court. He has done an A-plus job here at Ohio State in a year and a half.
So you mean to tell me for a full hour he bought lunches at Raising Cane's?
Yes.
Okay, can you imagine if Coach Dan Dockich had done that at Campus Poly Eyes when we were at Bowling Green?
Oh, that place would sell out. There wouldn't be any more food for the next day or so.
I don't think the staff there would have gotten any sleep. I
mean, not one bit.
That would have been something else, no doubt about it. Well, Dunny, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We will do this again next week as we get closer to the Rose Bowl, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week. Have a good one.
Thanks, Donnie. You do the same. Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, talking Buckeye basketball and football with us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to get to a break. Steve Bailey and I will come back after this here on AM 930 WEOL.